now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. A lot of these people that have all these abilities, who have celestial star ancestry, they're operating not only throughout this cosmos, but in higher planes, and they're working against the Draco Empire. The photonic energy and the cosmic rays will activate our higher centers. And it's incumbent upon us to ride that frequency wave. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you are listening to Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. Well, a lot has been going on this holiday season. The Russian ambassador to Turkey apparently was murdered by a former Turkish policeman. Interesting, though, when I look at the pictures of the Russian ambassador laying there, apparently dead, and with his arms spread out, kind of laying there like a crucifix, I don't see puddles of blood. Maybe there were pictures after that one was taken, which shows a puddle of blood. I don't know. But we're just supposed to believe the guy's dead. Andrei Karlov, Russian ambassador to Turkey, he was speaking at a photo exhibition in Ankara on Monday, December 19th, and the person who shot him was Mevlüt Mert Adintas, who worked for Ankara Riot Police for over 2 years. And, of course, this is only going to make things worse, not only over there in the Middle East, but basically throughout the whole planet. We've also had two alleged terrorist incidents. One taking place in Berlin, where a large articulated lorry, what is referred to colloquially in the U.S. as a big rig or an 18-wheeler, had run over a bunch of people and killed several people at least and injured many more. And there was also a reported shooting in an Islamic center in Zurich, Switzerland. So there's a lot going on in the run-up to Christmas / the death and resurrection of Osiris / the death and resurrection of Baal, etc., etc. Remember that the powers that be want to keep everyone in a permanent state of fear. What's interesting is David Icke, as usual, was very prescient and right on the mark. He had just given a video blog talking about the continued demonization of Russia and how it's leading or potentially may lead to a war with Russia and also a war with China. A war with Russia, China, and Iran on one side and NATO and the so-called Western democracies, chuckle, suppress, groan, eye roll, on the other. So what we have now is the Russian ambassador has been assassinated, supposedly. Maybe there are pictures that show a spreading puddle of blood. Maybe we'll see more evidence or proof that the guy was actually gunned down. I don't know if that will happen. Perception is reality. Putin reacted to it as if it was a real assassination. Okay, so we'll just call it an assassination for now, of the Russian ambassador to Turkey. And, oh, by the way, the Electoral College has voted to uphold Donald J. Trump as the next president of the U.S. So there's all kinds of things going on here at a number of different levels. Still early days yet as far as the news, so-called, that's streaming out of all the fake news sites, the mainstream media sites, about they're already calling it terrorist incidents in Berlin and Zurich, Switzerland. Likewise, the assassination of the Russian ambassador is being described as terrorism. Eerily similar to the assassination of Franz Ferdinand in the Balkans, which was the last straw that broke the camel's back and led to World War I in Europe. But actually, the machinations leading up to World War I have been going on for some time and being implemented by the secret elite. That's a whole other story. I only bring it up because it seems kind of eerily reminiscent, where perhaps this assassination, quote-unquote, of the Russian ambassador may lead to a larger war, as if we don't have enough wars already. And then we have the Zurich and Berlin alleged terrorist incidents. Now, where have we seen this before? Well, of course, we have the infamous Black September near simultaneous terrorist attacks against civilians in airports in Rome and in Vienna. December 27th, 1985. Abu Nidal was a patsy. Basically, he was a false flag terrorist under control, and he was routinely used to go after Palestinian leaders and also to go after European and American targets all over the place. And Abu Nidal was assassinated prior to, if memory serves, the second annihilation of Iraq in March 2003. Sometime before that, I believe he committed suicide, quote-unquote. I can't remember if he shot himself in the head 6 times or 7 times, right? He must have been in full zombie mode. Has to be an all-time record for a self-inflicted gunshot wound, right? If he only had a 6-round clip, and then the autopsy said that he shot himself 7 times, well, he may have had to reload. I don't know. But conveniently, Abu Nidal, a.k.a. Sabri Albana, committed suicide prior to the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And this is the same Abu Nidal who was the leader of Black September, a patsy, false flag, terrorist organization wholly controlled by the Zionist. No two ways about it. So we have the Black September terrorist attacks against Rome and Vienna airports in December 27th, 1985. Fast forward to the current times. These false flag terrorist incidents, and we still don't have much detail about what really happened in Berlin. It reminds me of that Nice, France episode when a Tunisian driver was alleged to have run over dozens of people, but that was completely hoax, completely fake. There wasn't a single person killed. It was just hordes of crisis actors fleeing in terror or trying to look terrified and being photographed in the process. It was just more of the same, this relentless push to terrorize the world with terrorist or alleged terrorist acts. And also, we have Zurich, where, if we're to believe what the fake news outlets are saying, the fake news mainstream outlets are saying, a gunman opened up on people in an Islamic center in Zurich, Switzerland. So this is just leading up, the days leading up to Christmas, the death and resurrection of Baal, the death and resurrection of Osiris, etc., etc., the winter solstice. And remember, what they always want to do is sustain the terror, sustain the fear. And think of all this as a backdrop. What is really concerning is the assassination, so-called, of the Russian ambassador. That definitely is going to throw a monkey wrench into any possibility of a ceasefire, of peace over there. The fake news Western media has already been screaming about how the Syrian army, backed by the Russians, has been carrying out atrocities in Aleppo, yada, 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 when it's, of course, the other way around. Everything that is excreted by the Western media is an inversion. Everything is a lie. None of it is true. So now the stakes are even higher. As David Icke pointed out in his very timely video blog, this may lead to war with Russia. Russia is not a country to be bullied. It's not a country to be slapped around and shocked and awed into submission like some of these other countries have been. Russia is a very large populous country with a strong sense of national identity. They have a well-trained, professional, and very large military force. They have intercontinental ballistic missiles that are tipped with nuclear weapons. So, the powers that be, the would-be controllers of this world, are shooting for all the marbles. And, again, these things operate in a vacuum. I mentioned a moment ago the Electoral College has upheld Donald Trump's presidency. So that's going to set off more days of rage from the Soros-funded zombies, the sore loser Clintonista types, and all these other brain-dead people. And I believe we'll see more activity from Black Lives Matter, more activity from La Raza, Aslan, etc., etc. They're going to have it all going on. And then, also in the recent past, Cliff High, the person who does all the webbot analysis, talked about how we will begin to see the first signs of an economic financial meltdown in early January 2017, which is a scant 11, 12 days away, 2 weeks away, and that by mid-2017, the financial crisis will be in full operational mode. He's talking about the derivatives unwinding. He's talking about the derivatives crashing. And we saw a sneak preview of that in 2008. But as some analysts predict, if derivatives start to unwind, credit default swaps, mortgage-backed securities, collateralized debt obligations, different names for these financial weapons of mass destruction. The whole concept behind collateralized debt obligations, etc., is patently absurd. It's just more monetized debt is what it is. I mean, if one of you out there received a bill from with a due notice from, say, your utility company or, say, from some other service provider, you cannot turn around and convert that into some kind of financial instrument. It has presumed value because sometime down the road, someone's going to pay for it, right? But essentially, that's what these credit default swaps and all that is all about, that all that debt will one day be paid for and therefore are worth a lot of money. And we're talking not just trillions, but quadrillions of monetized debt. So they are financial weapons of mass destruction, and the unraveling of these derivatives will cause a financial tsunami wave of debt and everything else, because analysts have pointed out that what's likely to happen is that the Fed, in their role as the good guys, stepping in as the good guys, like you saw their handiwork in 2008, they're likely to open the spigot and just start printing out more and more currency, pour so-called liquidity onto the problem. But really, that's just adding fuel to the fire. It will, at some point, lead to hyperinflation. And we've already seen hyperinflation in certain Latin American countries. We've seen what these IMF structural adjustment programs, so-called, have done to places like Greece after Goldman Sachs had unleashed a number of the derivatives upon Greece. So we're already seeing this happen in other countries. So we may begin to see it happen in the more so-called developed Western countries. So there's a lot going on right now. My original intention with this commentary was to talk about political correctness being the first stage towards cyborghood, the first step towards becoming fully integrated into the Borg collective. And although at first blush, it may not seem as if the two subjects have anything in common, i.e. the Russian ambassador's assassination, the terrorist attacks in Zurich, Switzerland, and Berlin, etc., etc., with the concept of political correctness leading to the Borg collective, I feel that it has a lot to do with it. And let me explain. Now, in the old days, and still going on to this day, tried and true method of brainwashing is just to simply hammer a certain message, hammer certain codes of conduct, hammer certain dogmas and ideologies into the open mind or minds of the believers, whether it's in military boot camp, whether it's in some religion or some cult. Have these elders, have these people who wield authority, who also have the ability to mete out punishments for nonconformity, let's say, relentlessly hammer a message over and over and over until it is believed. And we see this with the brain-dead social justice warriors who've been excreted out of the universities today. They have nothing to say, are not even aware of, say, Standing Rock or anything of that nature. But when they're empowered, when they're deputized, if you will, by their college professors and the social activists, so-called, all mostly funded by Soros and his ilk, and these brain-dead social justice warriors are told, okay, you're the new face of change, you will go out, you will get rid of this old guard, and you will all make it happen. We will be behind you. No harm will come to you. You won't be arrested, whatever the case may be. And then the social justice warriors get all into it with a maniacal fervor. That's just one example of dogma, ideology, brainwashing working. And then there's the more subtle type, which I was going to talk about. Am going to talk about. One thing about being around crazy people, and this system is run by raving psychopaths, raving lunatics, many of them in the mid and upper echelons, hybrid host with all kinds of entities working through them. One thing about crazy people is that they try to push their craziness, their insanity, their lunacy on you. They've been doing this long before the term gaslighting was utilized or created. The term gaslighting came from this 1930s movie with Charles Boyer called Gaslight, about a guy who's slowly driving his wife crazy. And what these crazy people do is they try to make their crazy world part of your crazy world. In fact, they want you to embrace their crazy world. Anyone who's been around compulsive liars, pathological liars, sociopaths, psychopaths, and I've been around people like this. I've been around them a lot. I've been around pathological liars for long stretches of my life. What they try to do is they try to get you to buy into their insanity. And also they try to make you expand by force if necessary, or by subtle or not so subtle means, make you expand your comfort zone until it absorbs and accommodates that which is patently uncomfortable. They make you expand your comfort zone to include that which is patently abnormal, bizarre, outright crazy. And one thing about lunatics and sociopaths, and they all have that R complex thing going, where they lack frontal lobe capacity, they are social misfits, they can act the part, but really they're just pathological liars. Some of them are not even good liars. One thing they can do, they have this remarkable ability to morph reality to suit their latest lie. Even when you catch them doing something red-handed, they can just whip out a lie. And it doesn't even have to be a convincing lie. They have that sociopathic, narcissistic demeanor where they kind of grin at you, they kind of smirk at you. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're the crazy one. They have that ability. And if someone doesn't have the ability to either detach from these freaks, or if they're compelled for whatever reason to have to interact with them, either at the job or in a family situation, which is even worse. Because at least if you have to deal with a sociopath, narcissistic, pathological liar in a work environment, at least you can detach from them at some point. Go home and they go on their merry way and you go on yours. If you live with them, or if you have one of them as a close family member, a sibling, a relative, a cousin, or a narcissistic parent, something along those lines, oftentimes in one's formative years, they have to put up with all of the crap from these people. And remember, the archontic aspect to it, it's not just lying people, it's not just people who have nothing better to do but to lie and make you a part of their world, because that's what they do. There's no boundaries. There's no sense of a delineation, a boundary where you end and they begin, or where they end and you begin. What they try to do is they try to get rid of these boundaries and make you part of their world. And they'll test you out first. They'll see how much you're willing to put up with, right? And if one acquiesces, if one goes along for whatever reason, lack of self-worth, an inability to put up proper boundaries, an inability to put up psychological boundaries, an inability to stand up for oneself, then these sociopaths, they're just going to put the pedal to the metal. And they're going to keep lying, they're going to keep stealing, they're going to keep manipulating. And they're gradually, incrementally, going to make their crazy world your crazy world. And if one is born into such a situation, extreme examples of this is of course, one who was born into an SRA family, Satanic Ritual Abuse family. That's an extreme example of what an inversion of life itself, where instead of nurturing love, loving kindness, and serenity, harmony, everything is completely bass-ackwards. It's replaced by cruelty, sadism, manipulation, diminishing of one's self-worth, etc., etc. So over time, what these sociopaths do is gradually try to change your worldview. And bit by bit, some people, in fact, many people, begin to accommodate these psychopaths and sociopaths and pathological liars. Well, that is being done on a large scale with the social engineering we see going on around us, where children in schools and people, adults in the workplace, are being told, well, you can't use words like ladies or men or women anymore, or gentlemen, because those are heteronormative. Those are heteronormative words, which are obscene and insulting and offensive to transgenders, let's say, right? It's the same old tribalist, collectivist, social engineering crap. Gradually, what they want to do is they want to paint us into a corner where we have to pause and Well, the first stage, or the middle stage rather, is we have to pause and stop and think about what we're going to say, what we're going to do. As David Icke says, they create these hassle-free zones where we're afraid of saying anything at any time because we may offend somebody. There's always some special interest group or protected species out there which perish the thought we may insult or offend. So gradually we're painted into a corner. And if we allow ourselves to be painted into a corner, and even worse, we acquiesce to all this, we say, okay, I'm not going to use words like male or female, men, women, boy, girl, because it's offensive. That is the first step towards becoming part of the Borg collective, where we submit ourselves to the collective hive mind consciousness. We allow these rulers to dictate not only what we say and how we comport ourselves, but they even regulate how we think. So that is where this is leading to. That's what the political correctness agenda is all about. Create more and more hassle-free zones, create more and more protected species, be they transgenders, blacks, homosexuals, whatever the case may be. At the same time, demonizing whites, of course, demonizing whites over and over and over, because it is racial genocide. That's what this massive influx into largely white countries is all about, an amalgamation, a forced amalgamation, forcing all these countries to submit to Sharia law, for example. And this is all going on as we speak. The acquiescence leads to an acceptance and a normalization of a variety of things, some of which are quite obscene, some of which are quite evil. We know that there's a mob mentality at work, that when the mob is whipped up into a frenzy, people lose their individual state of consciousness and they go along with the rest of the herd. And when this mob mentality takes over, the people that still have somewhat of a conscience, still have some degree of integrity, some degree of dignity, well, they will just go along to get along. So if they see atrocities meted out to innocent people in front of them, they won't say a darn thing. And we've seen this before. There was the movie in which Jodie Foster portrayed a woman who was gang raped at a bar in full view of a number of people, men and women, and not one person did anything about it. You heard me in a previous commentary talking about the Who's 1982 so-called farewell tour. Well, after they played in Oakland, they played in San Diego, what they used to call Jack Murphy Stadium, and later they changed their name to Qualcomm Stadium, where the San Diego Chargers and the San Diego Padres played for many years. Anyway, at that Who concert, and there was at least 50,000 people there, a young girl was raped. And there were hundreds of people around who witnessed this girl being raped by an older, large man. And not one of them did anything about it. This is the hive consciousness at work, this acquiescence. Oh, is that really happening? I'm just going to tune it out. Not my problem. And that's how these things go on. We allow ourselves to be painted into a corner. And then when the atrocities, the pogroms, the genocide begins, well, hey, as long as I hunker down and I keep my nose clean and I don't make myself noticeable, kind of like when you're in school and you didn't do your homework and the teacher is asking people in class what the answers are, asking for answers. The people who didn't do the homework, well, they're just kind of scrunching up at their desk. They're trying to make themselves appear very small, almost invisible, right? And they're hoping the person next to them or the person behind them gets asked the question and they don't. because they don't want to be singled out for, you know, humiliation and punishment. So they kind of hunch over and squinch themselves up really tight and kind of do this Jedi mind trick. You don't see me, Mr. Professor, Mr. Teacher. You don't see this person who didn't do his homework. Carry on. You can go now, right? Class dismissed. So this is what happens when we allow ourselves to go along with the political correctness. The subject came up the other day when this picture came out of these males that were parading down this runway. It was a fashion show, and they were dressed in, I don't even know whether to call these outfits effeminate or what, gender neutral, I don't know. And it must be understood that for countless centuries, males wore kilts, males wore skirts, males wore togas, males wore robes. To this day, people have encounters with very spiritual, enlightened beings, higher dimensional beings, the males that appear to be wearing togas or robes or that kind of thing. So there's nothing unusual about that. Now, these clothes that these guys were wearing on this fashion show, effeminate, gender neutral, I don't know what you would call them, but the way the system is set up now, if one were to criticize the dress, and then from out of nowhere will come all these shrill cries of homophobe, you hate gay people, you're a homophobe racist, you're a domestic terrorist. Remember that false flag hoax event in, I think it was in Miami, where some guy, I think he was a Muslim immigrant, allegedly. They like to cover all these bases. They like to tick off as many boxes as they can in these false flag hoaxed events. And this alleged Muslim guy went into a gay nightclub, and supposedly shot the place up. Check that. That was in Orlando, Florida. Interesting. That's near. It must be near Disney World then. It was not at Miami. That was actually in Orlando. ISIS claimed responsibility, and all the boxes were checked, right? So now, if someone says anything remotely homophobic or what can be perceived as homophobic, remember, perception is reality in today's soundbite world, well, that's tantamount to someone saying that they're a domestic terrorist who may go and shoot up a gay nightclub, right? And again, it's questionable whether anyone was harmed in that nightclub. It could just be another fake false flag event, hoaxed event, not false flag, because in some false flag events, people really get killed. I talked about Black September earlier. Black September killed hundreds of people. They were serving a larger agenda. So we have a situation where if one were to criticize the dress that someone was wearing as being a male is wearing as being effeminate or gender neutral, whatever the case may be, then that is tantamount to admitting that one is a domestic terrorist who has violent tendencies towards homosexuals and the gay community, which is patently absurd. But again, it has been turned into a hassle-free zone. That's the whole idea behind this. And so what they're doing now is they're pushing for gender-neutral bathrooms. So in theory, a man dressed as a woman can follow a little girl into a bathroom, but, you know, perish the thought, we can't complain about that because that marks us out for being homophobic, doesn't it? And it must be understood, here's the disclaimer, I've known lovely gay people in my life, I've known wonderful gay people. The best supervisor I ever had was a lesbian woman, a wonderful gal, fairest, kindest, really switched on gal. And some of the coolest people I've ever met were gay men. So there's another agenda behind the clothing apparel, though, also, is that it's the continuing agenda to emasculate the human male. The emasculation of the human male, the wussification of the human male. Now you have what I call the Will Ferrell archetype, this big hulking guy who doesn't even know what end of the hammer to hold. And we see so many movies where males are routinely depicted as helpless, stupid, empty-headed, and that's intentional. We're not supposed to see males that are role models, that are heroes in cinema today, that are white. So in a lot of the modern updated versions of movies from the past, where in the past the hero was a white guy, well, now they've switched that around and made the hero a black guy. Because in the agenda that's going on today, white is bad, white is synonymous with evil. The whites are being amalgamated and eventually going to be eliminated entirely if the powers that be have their way through this mass influx of immigration from countries. And the immigrants are largely Wahhabist, Salafist types from Middle Eastern countries or African countries, where the males are extremely misogynist, where we have such barbarous acts as female circumcision meted out to young girls in Africa. And so they're bringing in hordes of a certain type of male with the mindset of misogyny, with the mindset that women are objects that they can, if they so choose, assault and rape women or young girls at their leisure, at their whim, that it's their right to do so. That's the mindset. And who are we to complain about that? Because that's racist, isn't it? That shows our lack of being progressive. Again, being painted into a corner. All these hassle-free zones being created. We're supposed to accept this, normalize this, go along with this as if it's normal. So getting back to the whole concept of effeminate apparel, gender-neutral apparel, let's say, that has also to do with the emasculation of the human male agenda. They don't want males who can stand up and resist all this crap, right? And let's make it understood and be very clear about this. Sexual orientation, gender preference, if you will, has nothing to do with an ability for an individual to stand up for himself. Alexander the Great was gay, bisexual when he needed to, but he was mostly gay. Nobody would have called Alexander to his face a wuss. Then you look at the sacred band in ancient Greece, this band of warriors made up of gay lovers. They were renowned in the ancient world for their fierceness in battle. So, again, it's got nothing to do with being weak or being effeminate, the concept of gender. In fact, not many people realize this, but any CIA psychologist, military black ops psychologist worth his or her salt knows that there's a certain psychological profile that recruiters, psychologists in black ops look for. What they look for is a male who was raised by a domineering mother with either a weak father or an absentee father, and the male in question has latent homosexual tendencies. It doesn't mean that the male may have experimented, if you will, with homosexuality sometime in his life, as long as the latent tendency is there. So the profile, the ideal profile, let's say, would be domineering mother, weak, vacillating, or absentee father, and a male with latent homosexual tendencies, because some of those males in that profile, in that category, would make ideal black ops operatives, would make ideal assassins. Think of David Ferry, classic example. The guy was not only homosexual, but he was also a pedophile. And he was leading paramilitary operations to destroy Cuba's economy, conduct sabotage guerrilla warfare in Cuba. And he also, interestingly enough, was a personal assistant, financial advisor to Carlos Marcelo, if memory serves. So he would be someone that fits into that profile. To be sure, there are others. There are other categories, other profiles, psychological profiles, that would fall into that bandwidth, if you will, of someone who would make an ideal special ops operative, black ops operative. I'm not saying that all people in black ops, all people in special forces, all people in paramilitary ops have latent homosexual tendencies. That's not what I said. Please don't hear what I didn't say. All I'm saying is, within that demographic, that recruiters look for a certain type of male. Domineering mother, weak, vacillating, or absentee father, a male, a child, growing up and becoming a man who has latent homosexual tendencies. Some of them, underlined three times, make ideal assassins, operatives, etc., etc. I mean, you look at a case like The Boys on the Tracks. You can find the book by that name, The Boys on the Tracks. These two boys were out at night in Arkansas, and they stumbled across an airdrop of cocaine because of the MENA, Arkansas drug operation going on there. And then they were found out by the perps, and they were both murdered, but not before one or both of them was sodomized. So whoever killed them also had this tendency, this pederast, pedophile, rape young boys tendency. So again, getting back to the emasculation of the male, the human male, this agenda is being furthered by bisphenol A, which is a hormone in plastic, and it's often put in drinking water. And it's a hormone that mimics the female hormone estrogen. So they're gradually making males more female. And we also see this in all the hormones they pump into chicken, into cows, into pigs, before they're slaughtered. And you know, the meat is sent off to market. They pump all these hormones into it. This is why so many young boys are developing man boobs at an early age. They've got full-on breasts at an early age because of this influx of female hormones into their system. You know, bisphenol A even shows up in the ink of receipts. That's right. When you get your receipt or your docket from the clerk at the store, sometimes there is bisphenol A in that ink. How did it get there? Why did it get there? Who put it there? Well, it's all part of this agenda. To feminize males, to emasculate males. And again, to repeat, gender preference has nothing to do with masculinity per se. I cited the example of Alexander the Great earlier. Also the Sacred Band of Warriors in ancient Greece. These are examples of males who may be gay, but they can still kick ass. They can still fight. They can still kill. And I cited the example of how some males that are profiled as having latent homosexual tendencies, whether or not they ever acted on these homosexual tendencies is beside the point. Whether they ever experimented, so-called. They, and this is according to the psychologists in the black ops world, some of them make ideal operatives, okay? So let's keep that in mind. It's got nothing to do with saying gays are wusses or gays are weak or gays are necessarily effeminate. That would be a straw man argument. That's not what I'm saying. So please don't hear what I didn't say. You add to that the influence of cinema, of academia, of the media, of implants, of energetic implants, of the malign influence, the programming, the conditioning of males by archontic entities. Like, for example, a classic example would be how, and this would be the inverse of this argument, how reptilians systematically turn a guy who is a reptilian-human hybrid into a serial murderer. A serial murderer. Many of these serial murderers are impotent. They cannot attain an erection. They are suffering from ED, erectile dysfunction. And it's no surprise because part of the sexual behavioral programming and conditioning involves reptilians systematically sodomizing them. And there's a whole long story. I've talked about this in some of my previous interviews, previous lectures. It's a bait and switch where in the astral dreamscape, the male, when he's sleeping, the reptilian entity in interdimensional mode goes into the male when he's sleeping and takes over his astral dreamscape from within him and creates a stage-managed dream. And he is made to think he's about to have sex with a alluring, very sexually desirable woman right before he begins to initiate intercourse with this woman in his astral dreamscape stage-managed dream. He's suddenly sodomized from behind. And that takes away his ardor, that takes away his desire to have intercourse with this woman. And if this process is repeated over and over and over, no surprise, but that male will at some point develop erectile dysfunction, develop impotence problems. And again, this comes up in the case studies of serial murderers. Many of them are impotent. Many of them were addicted to porn. Many of them were subjected to this reptilian programming. So that's just one example of how this works, where they can turn someone, a male, a reptilian or Draco hybrid, into a serial murderer if that's what is the plan for that individual. And there's a larger, greater example, or agenda rather, where they will plan and are actually implementing this plan to turn many males into passive, weak, vacillating individuals who will go along to get along, won't stand up for anything, will put up with anything. That's part of the agenda as well. This agenda is multi-tiered, multifaceted, and it's very deep. So how does this tie in to the current events that I mentioned earlier? The assassination of the Russian ambassador, the terrorist incidents in Zurich and Switzerland, the Electoral College giving the nod to Donald Trump to be the next president, and the potential aftermath of all these pissed off Clinton supporters and social justice warriors and Black Lives Matter types, etc., etc., going on a Soros-funded rampage. Also, the possibility, which will happen at some point, I'm not saying with absolute certainty that Cliff High, his prediction that the financial system will start to unravel in a few weeks. I hope it doesn't, right? But that's also waiting in the wings. The only way they can implement the cashless credit debit currency system is to do away with the current monetized debt fiat currency system. And it will be an agonizing death for sure, because it's the financial collapse is going to impact people, not the elite. They can ride out the storm, but it's going to impact a lot of people, including a lot of these minions and servants of the system. And the Borg hive mind consciousness aspect to it will be equal parts deer in the headlights, overtaken by events, paralysis by fear, indecision, not knowing what to do because they haven't been trained to operate in a crisis situation. The Boy Scout, the whole Boy Scout movement was founded by a pederast, a pedophile in England. And so although many people, many boys develop important skills, field craft, what have you, in the Boy Scouts, a lot of times the whole concept of the Boy Scouts was taken over by this wicked system that we're exposing and we're talking about. Kids today, they don't know how to make a fire. They don't know how to fish. They don't know how to navigate by campus, by a compass, rather. They're plugged into their digital devices. They live this quasi-reality through their computers and through their TVs and through their video games. And that's all part of the emasculation of the human male aspect of all this. So we must not allow ourselves to be plugged into the Borg collective. And the political correctness agenda leads us to that. I mean, some of these people don't have to be microchipped in order to be plugged into the Borg. Because of bowing down to political correctness, they've already allowed themselves to be plugged into the Borg. Go along to get along. Lana Ray was on my show not too long ago saying that she was, I think she mentioned she was at a doctor's office or dental office, I think a doctor's office. And this guy was in there, this person waiting to be seen by the doctor, and he was freaking out. He was talking about how the Russians want to start World War III. The Russians are out to get us. Clearly that person is a TV news drooler. They just sit there, he just sits there, just takes on board whatever the media tells him. And I remember years ago, this is when that false flag was set up in South Ossetia. They tried to make it seem like the Russians invaded when it was, of course, the other way around. And there was a guy in my office that I was working at, and he started going on and on about how Russia is starting to reignite World War III, that they're bringing the Cold War back, yada, yada, yada. And this guy I knew was a Fox News viewer. So, by a steady drumbeat, they just pounded into his head the boogeyman of Russia. And we also see this with the video games. I mentioned a moment ago, a lot of the video games, Call of Duty, Call of Honor, etc., etc. Over time, the bad guys in a lot of these video games, not necessarily Call of Duty, Call of Honor, because I don't know anything about them because I never played them, but some video games have made the Russians out to be the bad guys. So they're conditioning the kids, the boys who are addicted to these video games, to see the Russians as the adversary. So let's unplug from all this nonsense and all this insanity and all this lunacy. They're trying to normalize. We'll step back. We'll detach from that. We'll stay grounded. We'll smile to ourselves and say, I'm not buying into that. Ain't gonna happen. Homie, don't play that. And when we have that mindset, that means we can deal with equanimity with any of the crap they throw at us, any of these false flag hoaxes, any of these real terrorist false flag events which actually harm people. And we can stay grounded and we can ride out the storm, because it's going to get pretty ugly. It's like what they tell the students in SEER, Survival, Escape, Resistance, Evasion, survival school, if you will. Well, no, that's something different. SEER is something that's a dedicated program designed for those who have a likelihood of winding up in enemy or denied territory, air crewmen, people in special forces, rangers, that kind of thing. Survival, escape, resistance, evasion. And the instructors tell the students, you're in the problem when they're going through this course. You're in the problem, and you have to problem solve. You have to work your way through the problem by your resourcefulness, your endurance. And remember, stubbornness is the basis for endurance, which is the basis for survival. And so embrace your innate stubbornness out there. Recognize the nature of the problem and start problem solving and start making preparations, mentally and physically. Just don't be seen to be making preparations. Do everything under the radar, sub rosa. Learn to think and act like an operative. Learn to think and act in ways that don't draw attention to yourself. Like a lot of your friends and relatives and neighbors, they'll never catch on to any of this. You just have to wish them the best and move on. And don't let them see what you're doing, right? If you're making preparations, if you're stocking up in food, it's okay for the elite to stock up on food. But for anyone else, oh, that's an act of, oh, that's prepping, that's survivalism, that's domestic extremism. It's always contradictory. If you look at the headlines, the vapid, empty-headed headlines of these lamestream fake news sites, MSNBC, CNN, Yahoo News, Google News, etc. What are the headlines right after the Grammys or the Oscars? Oh, the top 10 fashion disasters of the Grammys last night. And they just make fun of certain people for having like bad or poor clothing, or by their standards anyway. Well, that's okay. But if some of us say, that's weird clothing for a guy to be wearing, it makes him look effeminate and weak. Oh no, that's homophobic, that's racist, that's domestic extremism mindset and tendencies. You see how that works? It's okay for the lamestream news to pick fun at people, the top 10 fashion disasters at the Grammys or the Oscars. But if someone looks at a picture of a bunch of guys in a fashion show walking down this runway and they're wearing effeminate apparel, oh, we can't make fun of that. We can't even comment upon that. We can't even criticize that. We can't even say that's something I'd never wear. It looks stupid. Because it sets us out to be different, nonconformist, et cetera, right? So keep that in mind. There's built in any kind of insane system, there's built-in contradictions. And we just can't allow this lunacy to become part of our normal existence. We have to surround ourselves in a bubble, if you will, of normality, of sanity, of serenity, of harmony. All right, everybody. This has been the latest segment of Bartley's Commentaries on the Cosmic Wars. If you like what we're doing, if you believe in what we're doing, please go to the Cosmic Switchboard website at thecosmicswitchboard.com and sign up and become a member. And for a very short time, for this holiday period, we're having a special offer. Usually, for a yearly membership, it's $75 for a year membership. But for a very short time, for $95, you not only get a year membership, but you can also have a consult with yours truly for an hour, or with my colleague, Wolfhawk, who is a computer expert and knows quite a lot about nutrition. So on the one hand, you can have a consult with me about alien abduction issues, reptilian issues, my lab issues. Or you can choose to have a one-hour consult with Wolfhawk, who is a computer expert. Any kind of questions about computers, networks, LANs, whatever the case may be. And he's also quite knowledgeable about nutrition. This also applies for current yearly members. So if you sign on for this special $95 deal, not only is an additional 12 months added onto your subscription, you can also avail yourself of a consult with yours truly or my colleague Wolfhawk in computers or as far as nutrition is concerned. And here's the disclaimer. We're not saying anything about how our utilization of nutrition or diet or nutritional supplements has healed anyone of anything. We're just providing this information for educational, entertainment purposes only. And nutrition is an important part of healthy living. Your average oncologist doesn't know a darn thing about nutrition. Where else but on a planet like this are people in cancer wards given ice cream and Jell-O for food. That just feeds into the lactose cycle. It grows and powers the cancer. Where else but on this planet are toxins like formaldehyde and mercury and aluminium put into vaccines and given to children and said, and we're being told that the vaccines are good for children and good for people in general. It's a lunatic world and we don't have to buy into it. Okay? So anyhow, you have, all of you, my dear listeners, have a great holiday season and we'll catch you on the flip side.